It's Tuesday evening, June 21st.
Yep. Longest day of the year.
If you all believe in prayer,
we can.
Go right ahead.
Well, Father, we thank you.
Yes.
That we're all here.
Amen.
We just thank you that you are God, and we are your people. And you sent your Son, which has saved us and made us your people, made us your sons. And Lord, we have learned so much about you from your word, Lord. And so I pray that that continues mightily, Lord, that we just keep getting light from your word and truth from your word about who you are, what you want us to be, Lord. So let your presence and your Holy Spirit be here in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I think that we're going to get some major revelation as far as and some major things. And, you know, God is spirit. And so are we. But we try to bypass the spirit end of it and function mostly in the natural. And I don't think that we were supposed to. And the reason I say that is because I'm starting to see scriptures that kind of change that. It says that if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, and my understanding is unfruitful. What will I do then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. And it's like, and I thought, how can you pray with the spirit? There's a scripture that says, and you guys are familiar with it. It says if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. And I thought, I don't think I've ever spoken in the language of angels. Unless, of course, it's a language of the Spirit. See, the thing about it is that there's not anything about us that God doesn't know. You can't fool him, you can't deceive him, you can't anything. Because he knows exactly what's going on. And so, he also knows that the Bible talks about not sinning in the Spirit. And it's like I thought, well, how do you do that? You know, how do you function in the Spirit? And Paul says, my spirit is with you, or will be with you. Or, you know, we hear these strange statements that are made in the Bible. And I thought, well, how can they say that? What is the basis for it? How could he make a statement like that? And I think that there's an awful lot of things about speaking in tongues. I asked Kurt last night. I read that about, you know, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels. I think that's like the 1 Corinthians 13 or something. And he says, I said, what is that? He says, I'm speaking in tongues. I thought, that's a strange thing for him to say. He has never spoken in tongues, to my knowledge. And yet, I could get it. I could understand. I saw how he saw it, you know, what he was thinking. that a scripture, I'm trying to think of where it's at. It said that they ate angels' food. That was what we call it, you know, or they ate in the wilderness, they ate a manna. It says that they ate angels' food. And I thought, is there a possibility that angels can have food? Is there something that God brings about that they can eat that they can eat? No, it could be just called angel food. Do you see the scripture?
I see one that says they all ate the same spiritual food, which is 1 Corinthians 10:3.
Do you see one that says they ate angel food?
Not yet. Well, keep looking.
The angels are spirits. And they're set forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's what it says. It's in Hebrews. I think the second chapter. You know, I think it says that in the 87th chapter of Psalms.
Well, in Psalms 78, verse 25, it says, they ate the food of angels.
Yeah.
Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. Psalms 78, 25.
That's a strange statement. The food of angels. The angel, they're ministering spirits. I'm curious to see what happened with Pablo. Whatever it was, he wants to talk to me about it because it lines up with what I've been talking to, you know. And I don't know enough about the whole thing to make a case.
Saw a scripture tonight earlier I was reading. It's in Galatians, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father.
Right, going back to Psalm 78, 24, it says, had rained down manna on them to eat and given them the bread of heaven. No. The manna, the bread of the angels.
The whole point is, I think, is that he gave them
food from heaven,
spiritual food,
yeah,
in a sense, even though they were eating it.
Right.
It was to keep them alive spiritually too, I think. Maybe a type for us, just to, by eating the word, we get the same effect.
Right.
You know?
I got to agree with you.
Yeah.
It's, when you talk about eating food in heaven, it's not like you're going down having a steak or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You get Yeah, the word food covers a lot of things.
Because there's this, I think there's a scripture that says food for the soul. Well, what is that?
Jesus made a statement in the fourth chapter of John, and he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he said, by meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So is it possible to be spiritually fed or something just by doing God's will?
Sure.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yeah. I don't know. Not only is it possible, it's likely.
Yeah.
It's probably necessary eventually.
I mean, let's face it, Jesus knows a lot of things we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole fullness of the Spirit really helps out there. I was thinking about what you said earlier, Keith. And you know, I think strangely, which is, but we've kind of come full circle. Because 40 years ago, 20, 35 years ago, we weren't too worried about the Word, but we were all worried about the Spirit. Everything is Spirit. No foundation or improper foundation. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. That's all we ever did. God showed us the folly of that and has taken us through our wandering through the desert for many, many, many years going, I'm going to teach you my Word. And now we're kind of coming out of that time of the desert, and we're feeling we need to be asking for the gifts. We're looking for and are yearning for the spiritual gifts. Except now we're better equipped, and I don't think we'll fall susceptible to the angels of light. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect or we don't have to be on our guard or anything like that, but I am saying I think He has prepared us to be able to do more of what God wants us to be doing. You know, because before we were going for the sizzle. It's all about the sizzle. No foundation. To the point where I think a lot of us said, I want a foundation. I'm not too worried about sizzle. That'll come. And I think now we're yearning again for a little bit of the sizzle. Not trying to use, you know, flippant terms, but I have had spiritual experiences that I yearn to have them again. But I'm sure they will be so much better than what I experienced in the past.
And we never know. We just did. We never know. I was in agony and praying 20 years ago. I would have never guessed that I would hear a voice. And I haven't said I never did before. But it could have been one of you guys talking. It was just as plain as could be. And except that there was nobody there but me. I should say that. Yeah. There was somebody there. But it read me like a book, you know. And that I became aware of. It didn't have to say very much to let me know that I'm not anything and you're everything. You know?
I think you had it right before. There was no body there. You were the only body there. There might have been a spirit there. thank God for Him sharing that with you and you sharing it with us.
And lead that through. Number of people that actually believe in God, if the media is accurate, it's pretty slim. And but is that true? One of the reasons that we originally came, or not us, but our ancestors came to this country was for religious freedom. And not the kind that they talk about today, but it was pretty good. It wasn't really that so, but they didn't have anywhere near the revelations that we have. Or did they? We don't really know, you know.
You know, I'm trying to stay out of that judging business. I don't know whether only God knows.
You know, I think there's a lot of people out there that believe God, want to know God, and they're like us. They just need to be tweaked here and there to come into the full kingdom. You know, it's just like us, you know.
Mm.
I mean, we had a zeal for God, did we not? I mean, way back. And we cried out to God, and He, you know, He heard us. He answered. He gave us things. And I think there's people like that out there. But you know, until we started getting some of these revelations, which really brings us in to the trueness of God,
you know, a lot of those people out there, they just don't know where to go or what to do.
Yeah, but God, you know, God will reach out here pretty soon.
But I mean, you know, they're. You know, I take Jill for example, you know.
Take you and have you go bring some, you know, or me or whoever. You'll start reaching out and touching those people.
Mm-hmm. And it requires a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to jump in and make it happen, you know, and that's not good.
You know, and it's true. There's a lot of ignorance out there. Well, God knows how to deal with that. Paul said, "I was ignorant." You know, well, God knew how to bring him around. He'll know how to bring those people around. If they haven't had the opportunity to hear a true revelation, then they're totally. Necessarily totally accountable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's where you got to be careful because, you don't want to be the one that goes with them, you know. Yeah. That's where you got to let God do it.
Yeah.
Be patient, wait on Him.
But I agree that there are probably many, many people that would have a much better heart for God. But because they don't fall in line to what a particular church wants them to do, or they're not counted properly because the media says you have to do these certain things, or you don't qualify as someone who's interested in God, I tend to think that there is remnants, and there is a big remnant, and we just don't know. And that would be like God, too, because if we knew there were like 7 million people worldwide that felt the way we do, we would take comfort in the fact that there's 7 million on the straw. And how could we possibly, you know, the emphasis goes off to God, and it's all this collective thinking.
You know, I kind of want to go back to something that was touched on in the beginning, but I don't want to stir up the pot necessarily. But I just feel like I have to make a statement. I'm not totally going to just go over to relying completely on man's remedies. I still want to develop faith to believe God can touch him. Healing. If he can heal the blind, raise the dead, heal a leper, he can heal high blood pressure when the time is right. Okay? And that's not putting nothing on any of you. I'm just saying, I don't want to fully give up on just, oh, yeah, okay. No sense having faith for that, because there's already something that will help it. You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah. So, and all of us, now, some of you probably have faith in an area way beyond me, you know. So it's just a matter of, you know, there's, you know, and then I'm sitting here going, oh, sure, I'm going to make the statement, and then now God's going to test me by. Well, no, he's not necessarily going to test me that way, you know. Might, whatever, but the fact is, you know.
But you're right. You know, you have to keep, even though you're on the medication, you still got to pray for the healing from God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'd love to not be on the medication. Right?
Yeah.
So we need to keep praying for that. You know, that's what we need to pray for.
Yeah.
Sure, you might be taking it now, but, you know, pray that he can take you off of it. Which has happened with people.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
in my family. I mean, Susan's been on and off blood pressure medication twice in her life. And God did it both times.
Yeah.
And so some of our medication was dropped too because she doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. But in the meantime, you still got to take the medication, you know.
And it was surprising to hear what Pablo shared, because I, you know what, more than anybody in this body, he wanted to completely rely on God.
Yeah.
You know.
I know when Barb heard that Sunday, she said, my prayer has been answered. You know. That he would take the medication until he gets healed. You know, not to supplement God, but just to take it, you know. Yeah, because if I don't take my blood pressure, blood thinner, and I sit and wait for God, I'm just sitting here slowly dying, you know. But I have to keep existing until God does heal me. But I know what you're saying, God. And that's
kind of. I don't know what you said at all. It is a slippery slope, because if you rely on man, then you are basically not giving God his due. On the flip side of that is, it's a different way of saying, God told me the rapture is coming, so I stopped working and I sit on the hill waiting it to happen and you die penniless because you misinterpreted what God was doing, and you go, I don't know. I mean, I've actually been praying on this a lot. Where's the line between having faith that God will do something and being guilty of throwing a fleece?
Now, see, and I have to sit here and tell you, you know, I'm on one prescription, and I had a procedure done to make something better. That was my prostate, mm-hmm. You know. And I'm still on the medication that keeps it from enlarging. So, you know.
Well, did I make the
But a lot of that was, well, it just made life a little more nice. You know, I could have probably not, well, I could have not had a procedure and I'd just be
glossing
that a whole lot more. You
nice.
Know.
Well, I think you said was exactly right. We should not shortchange God's abilities. God can heal.
In fact, now that I think about that, I kind of want to slap myself for being kind of weak, because I kind of assumed, well, I did this and so now I'm good. This, I can live like this. When I should still be praying, Lord, just fix it so I don't have to take any prescription and
Amen.
Whatever, you know.
Amen.
And just pray it and you know, and keep praying.
And we know that he can do it.
Yeah,
it's not a question of.
Yeah, please.
It's not a question if it's within his capabilities. We know he can do it if that's his will.
And that, you know, and then there's the other thing we were talking about on Sunday, like with Jerome. You know, sometimes God just lets people have maladies, yet still keeps using them. And some of that's a testimony, you know, because they're saying, "Well, I don't care what I feel like or look like, I'm still working for God, and I'm still believing God, and I'm still ministering for God," you know, which he did.
And Paul.
There's a lot of them.
The example.
On and off, you know.
The example is there to be followed.
I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was Smith Wigglesworth, but somebody had a series of kidney stones while they prayed for the sick.
Yeah, I think I heard something about
read
something too about that.
He prayed for people and God healed them, but he suffered from kidney stones.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's more than one example where God has given someone a gift, but they could use that gift on themselves and he doesn't do it. You know, so I know that's happened more than once. So
and you know, it's because there's a thing of pride in us that God has to keep in check. You know, like, you know, the thorn in the side or whatever, just the ego thing, you know, that keeps you humble. And we can think, yeah, no, I wouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. But God knows your heart. He knows you. He's probably going, well, I know you think that and you believe that, but I know you better than you do.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why Peter was used as an example. He was more than happy to charge in on fire. And he said, no, it would never happen to me. The Lord knew.
Yeah, I wonder if that's another little thing of self-righteousness, you know. And
Shelby,
I thought that was coming from
Hello. Hello. Yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Just on a little recess here.
Who? No. I'm not at our house either. Okay. Love ya. Well, she's crying, which is a good sign, I guess.
Oh, the little one's crying?
Yeah.
Oh.
The one that had a seizure.
Huh?
The granddaughter that had a seizure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's some phone calls going on. Things get sorted out.
Yeah. Strange things. You know, the Bible talks about Paul was talking about the Jews. He says they have a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. You know, they had zeal, but their understanding was wrong. But if they had been taught the law for several hundred years, it's kind of hard to break it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But God seems to think that they can.
Well, how long has the Trinity been taught?
Yeah, quite a few. Well,
that's a lot of years.
Since about the 3rd or 4th century.
Yeah.
In the 22nd century.
Right.
Almost 2 millennia.
Yeah.
A millennium, I guess.
And you know how they decided that? They voted.
You know, I think it's times like these that we really need to cling to the scriptures you read out of Galatians today. It's about, you know, we can have the Father's Spirit within us.
Christ's Spirit.
Both.
Yeah.
And just to.
You know, the thing too is you got to keep believing where it says you can have the fullness. You know? Which is a lot nicer to read than Galatians. Galatians, it's like everybody's getting chewed out.
The hammer's kind of down.
Yeah. I didn't realize it went through kind of the whole book. You know, he keeps getting on him about don't this and don't that.
That's correct.
You were given this. Why have you went away from this?
You are dead.
It is sort of like, you know, oh, poor relationship.
This is, you know, I have, this one always sits with me is, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you. You know? And how much do we just put so much on days and seasons and months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Holiday things, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving. And, of course, I mean, it's because it kind of says you should be kind of having that every day if you're going to have that, you know. And or it says there is a correct way to have it. If the total focus is on God, you know, if you want to set a day aside totally to God, that's fine.
That would be a good use of time.
Yeah, but don't do it every month now and think it's going to just, that's all you got to do then, because, you know, you got to have that same, like, zeal and sense.
It says, and we're familiar with this verse, really familiar with it, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus said, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. But all that hear my voice, I know. But what does they say? He says, and they that hear my voice, I know where it's at.
That crazy thought come in. Okay, let's see if he's got more. It's interesting that Jesus never spoke in tongues from what we get from the scripture. We don't know that he wasn't talking to God when he prayed. I mean,
right.
It doesn't say.
Yeah.
It just doesn't say. Well, now, if you're completely one of the spirit with God, maybe you don't have to.
You know, Jesus didn't say to himself, I don't know how to pray to God.
Yeah.
He knew how, right? So one of the games. But you're right, it simply doesn't. The other thing that I thought of was, well, he didn't use tongues, he used parables. That was confusing. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about that people could go, well, he said, I don't have to.
Well, oh, yeah, I suppose.
No. You're not in the same realm as him.
Oh, I thought I had that turned off.
Right.
Be careful.
Well, yeah, you gotta argue on that.
And it's obvious, or you wouldn't have had it happen at, you know, Pentecost, and then after that, lots of instances. So it's definitely necessary.
And he said, I'm gonna send a comforter for you.
You know? Everyone that is of the truth, hear my voice. That's the way it's worded.
Right.
So for this cause, I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. To this end was I born, for this cause I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Does that tell us then that when God starts giving truth, that we need to bear witness to it. Is that verse, is that a major revelation or not? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's not in the Trinitarian way of thinking.
Nope.
So what do you do with it? Well, you know what? You don't do much of anything with it until God causes it to happen.
Yep.
But in the 17th verse, a chapter of John, and Jesus says, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. And, you know, sanctify them through your word. And by concordance or whatever it says, to be sanctified is to be separated. You know? As a matter of fact, I think that's what it says in my concordance. You know, separate them unto yourself through your truth. And you know what? That makes sense. If you're going to be separated unto God, it's going to be through His truth and not man's.
Yep.
I just wish I was quite a bit younger when I got the revelation. I wish it was there.
Be thankful you got it. No matter what age it is, you know?
Here's the thing. It was given to you. You did nothing to get it. But what did it do? Guess what? We all got it too. Now, if you couldn't be happy with just that, I mean, look at how many people that's affected and how many it's going to affect. And he may have done it with some other people all around the world. We don't know. You know, there could be little pockets like this everywhere, you know, that have gotten some revelation. And, you know, I was reading and I never knew what it kind of meant. I don't know now if I'm going to find this. It talks about having Paul's saying, I revealed the mysteries. Oh, yeah, here it is. Well, no, it's part of it, maybe. Let's see. I think it's in Ephesians, but. Well, here's one that kind of leads up to it. Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And somewhere else it says, the mystery of God and of Christ. And you know what the mystery is? Nobody thought that God would ever be the God of the Gentiles. And then the other part is, they never thought that Christ would save them like he saved any Jew. You know? That was a mystery. That would have been a mystery. Like, that can't happen. But with God it can, because that's what he decided, you know?
Yeah, and the thing about it that we don't understand is God is a righteous judge. And we can say, well, he's going to save this one, he's going to save that one, or whatever. We don't know who he's going to save.
No. I mean,
that's his business.
There wasn't probably hardly a Jew alive at the time that thought he was going to bring in the Gentiles. Even with them, in a sense, as far as salvation.
Ephesians 3:3. That sounds like that would be it.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. it's not. That's good too, because
it's a good one, but not till
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that wasn't the one that we read. But anyway, it's saying the same thing. But I never, till just a little bit ago, after I started thinking about it, I thought, well, yeah. I mean, to the Jewish nation, and probably to the principalities in heaven, powers. I never thought that God was going to include the Gentiles, because he'd never shown any of that up until Christ, you know. What a blessing, what a amazing thing for us that weren't Jews, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
We who are not his people have the chance.
Yeah. But it's nice that Paul says, don't get a big head about it.
Yeah.
Because you can be taken out of it just as easy.
Not only the Gentiles, but the Norwegians.
I'll laugh at that one. I left that one.
I had to throw that in, Chuck.
Yeah, go ahead. Just trick me. You can't quite trick me.
There's some Gentiles that are more Gentile than other Gentiles.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say? Well, there's Gentiles, and then there's really serious Gentiles. But it is.
So anyway, I started to realize that it says that God. They must worship God in spirit and in truth. They must. And then it says that if I speak in an unknown tongue, I speak not unto men, but unto God. If I pray in unknown, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful.
Yes, I have this little thing in the back of my mind that says that is definitely a way to do it. But I don't think that's all of it. I think you can become in a state of spirit that's not, that you can still worship God in truth without having tongues. You can do it in your regular language.
I'm sure you can.
You know, I mean, yeah. But I know because I love it. I love that gift.
Well, it says, you know, he says the hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it's like something was coming. And it wasn't too long after that that the Holy Spirit fell on the Pentecost.
But see, we all had the gifts of tongues before we ever saw that revelation.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, that's truth. So you can worship him in truth and in spirit. And some of that's going to go intermingle or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
In Romans 7, you can take the Lord's name and do great things, and he'll honor those requests, even though he says he doesn't know you. I mean,
that's not Romans, is it?
Is it Romans 7?
Isn't that in Matthew?
Oh, Matthew 7. Thank you.
Yeah.
Matthew 7. We can be good or right of heart, and God will honor it. And we can be wrong of heart, and God honors it. But you want to be worshiping him in spirit and in truth, because that's what it says. And if you extract that a little bit more, he's saying, how do you worship in spirit? You know that you are initiating that. And the only time I know I initiate, I can be
initiating
spirit, praying in tongues.
We got these crazy scriptures that says that God is buried to the backslider. What do you do with those?
Yeah, I was sitting here in the last minute or so going, you know what? I have no idea what he's going to do, but I can't wait to see what he's going to do. He's going to do something.
And you know what?
It's going to amaze us.
Yeah, and that is what pleases God. When we're expecting something, and even if we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like little children,
yeah.
You don't know what your parent is going to do, but you're excited because you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And that is just the place you're talking about.
The wise and the prudent
are lost. They're wasting their time trying to figure out God.
They're wasting
their time. How God's going to do this, they go, I don't know how he's going to do it. I'm excited that I know he's going to do it.
Yeah.
That's the real glory.
They're wasting their time trying to figure God out through wisdom.
Yeah.
You, the created, are going to figure out the creator. The level of arrogance in that is pretty profound.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought of something. Kind of sound a little stupid, but you know, Hollis is just like a little child that sits down and sees this great big package all wrapped up nice and neat for him, and it says, do not open till Christmas. But he knows it's for him, and he knows there's something exciting in it. But he's got to wait.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know, it's just, but it's there. You just got to wait for it to be the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My wife would have never been able to wait. And I can wait for two Christmases. Chucky eats his dessert first.
I said, what eat it? What are you?
Well, there's a rumor around, if he doesn't eat it first, someone will get it. He's just being proactive. Dwell in that thought and go, you know. And that is truth. God is going to do something, and it is going to be wonderful. And we could sit in anticipation. I mean, it doesn't mean we stop. We continue to seek his word, and we continue to meditate on it day and night. But we seek truth, but we have the revelation. We know that he's going to do something, and it's going to be wonderful and glorious. Yeah.
And pray that he does it. You know, pray for it.
Pray for it to be sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pray for it to be sooner. But,
well, I don't know about sooner, but just pray for it to be, to happen.
You're wrong.